Every year, Cleveland Public Theater transforms our campus into a labyrinth of theater, dance, visual, and performance art in every corner, with over 300 artists and 25 stages. For 17 years, this Party of the Year supported Cleveland Public Theater's groundbreaking artistic work and life-changing education programs. But what you see right now can't happen. Things have changed. Things have been shut down. Some may see this empty theater as emblematic of our contemporary time when we're separated, when we're forced to be apart. Some may even believe that theater is dead and gone. But art will find the way. It cannot be held back because it's core to our humanity. Like flowers growing up through the sidewalk cracks, water rushing through the Cuyahoga River, dreams that come to us at night, art will happen. Theater perseveres. Here at Cleveland Public Theater, we believe the calling of art is to be a source of awakening. Ever. We need art. We need theater to give us comfort and inspire our hearts and lead us on our own personal journeys of evolution and innovation.
Hello out there and welcome to Talk Back, today's latest edition of Talk Back with yours truly, Gloria Shea. We're live today and we want to thank all of our viewers out there for tuning in to Talk Back. Glad to have you with us today. We've got a very special show for you today. We have a very special guest, none other than Raymond Bobkin, Executive Artistic Director right here in the city of Cleveland of the Cleveland Public Theater. The Cleveland Public Theater is not only a public theater, but it is an arts complex right here in the city of Cleveland. It's located at 6415 Detroit Avenue, and we've got a special guest. Hello out there, Raymond.
Hello. It's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Gloria, for having me as your guest.
Well, thank you for taking out your time to visit with us today. We are so excited to have you on. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. Number one, the theater, one of my favorite things to talk about, the theater. So I understand that, as I stated on the onset, Cleveland Public Theater is a public theater, but it's also an arts complex. It was founded in 1981 by Cleveland native James Levin. Tell us a little bit about the history of the Cleveland Public Theater.
Yeah, so our history goes back. There's a lot of different roots and antecedents to Cleveland Public Theater. But what's really fascinating is James Levin, who grew up here in Northeast Ohio, as a performer and as a studying to be a lawyer. James was in New York and met the amazing Ellen Stewart. Ellen is one of the great leaders of innovation of the 20th century in American theater. She had a theater called La Mama Experimental Theater Company. This was originally an off-Broadway house and then was split between off-Broadway and off-Broadway. It's still an amazing organization today. And Ellen had a number of people that she referred to as her babies. And James Levin was one of those babies. And when he returned to his hometown, he wanted to create a theater. And he was so inspired, not only by the New York Public Theater and their ongoing Shakespeare in the Park and the different kinds of outreach they were doing, but also by Ellen's vision, a vision that theater can be edgy, can be new, and should focus on our contemporary voices, can be political, and also that theater needs to represent and look like the communities that we serve within. And that's the kind of theater that James founded. And it started, you know, just as the small collective, renting a little upstairs theater, what we now call the James Levin Theater. The neighborhood was very different then. And he had this vision that's so fascinating. You know, most of our arts organizations are either downtown or they're on the east side in the University Circle area or somewhere else on the east side. And James said, I want to start a theater where there is no public art right now. I want to start a theater because not only did he believe that art can change lives, but that art can change neighborhoods. And that vision really has come to fruition today. When you look at the diversity of our neighborhood, the economic diversity of our neighborhood, we've gone from a place where people didn't say hello on the street, people felt afraid, scared, most of the shops were boarded up, to a time in which this neighborhood is just, the Gordon Square district is just thriving. And I see people that I saw literally 20 years ago walking down the street, except now we say hi, and we're friendly.
Right.
Because we feel confident and safe in our neighborhood.
Right. And I must say, it must be terribly exciting for you to be a part of such great history under Mr. Levin and what he started. I wanted to ask, and it was about 60 years ago, I understand that actually it started, correct? About 60 years ago?
About 40.
About 40 years? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you something that's just a little bit offbeat. I want to help our viewers and our listeners understand a little bit more. Because Cleveland Public Theater is basically, it works around creating what is called experimental theater. Tell us what that actually means.
Well, first of all, I think all great art is experimental at its heart. You know, whether it's the most conventional piece, but when it transcends and becomes a great work of art, there's something experimental going on. And at Cleveland Public Theater, we do a wide range of work. So some of the work we do is going to look and feel like a play you might see at Cleveland Playhouse, except maybe it has a message or it's about who tells the story, because we believe that who is telling the story is as important as what the story is. So, for example, we did a play a couple of years ago called Lines in the Dust. It was a pretty conventional play, except the play was about district jumping. This Black mother who was pretending to live in a neighborhood she didn't live in so that her daughter could get a really good education, because we know that our education system is inherently racist. And she had done this, and the Black principal of the school, another woman, found out. And this tension between these two Black women who just want the best thing for this child, but are bound by the laws and the systemic racism. It was a super powerful play about something people aren't really, really talking about, which is the inequity in education. And so this was a very conventional play. Meanwhile, we recently did a play by that same playwright, Nicole Salter, an amazing playwright and a beautiful performer, and also the president of the board of Theater Communications Group this year. So we commissioned Nicole to write a play about the consent decree between the DOJ and the city of Cleveland. And Nicole came here, she interviewed the mayor, the chief of police, leaders of Black Lives Matter, and activists in the community, and just met a whole host of people. And she wrote this beautiful play called Breakout Session, or Fragorce. And it is a hilarious play about these two women who are running, who are trying to get a job with the city of Cleveland to do anti-bias training with the police. And one of the women is Black, one is white. And the white woman is running a breakout session and she's gonna get radical. And the people who attend this breakout session are all Black or people of color. And And so, you know, here's this white woman trying to do anti-bias training, and many things start coming up. And as they come up, there's these very weird, bizarre, almost like commercial, bizarre scenes where suddenly a crocodile comes on stage. Or there's an inspirational speaker who becomes a mantis shrimp. And so there are these very weird, crazy things happening. But then you start realizing why. Because as Nicole starts explaining, or as the characters begin to explain, the mantis shrimp can see colors that the human eye cannot see and can experience reality in a way that I can't experience it. And it's through this trust of recognizing that I can't experience the world through your eyes, Gloria. I can't exactly know what your existence is, but I need to trust you when you share your experience to me. And right. So sometimes these plays that seem experimental, it's because they're getting, or they seem weird, I'm going to say, but it's because it's through that lens, it's through this shift of reality that we can see the world in this new way.
And exactly. And theater has always played a role in society and things and social consciousness. So quite point on. Let me just back up just a bit. How long have you been involved with Cleveland Public Theater, Raymond? Share that with us.
Yeah, so I've had a long relationship with the theater, not continuously working on staff, but I stage managed a show here many, many years ago. That was my first professional stage management experience. And I was able to direct my first professional production that I also was the playwright of back in the mid 90s. And so it's been one of my artistic homes for my entire professional career. Although I've been able to work elsewhere and in other cities, and I was doing freelance for a while. And I also had a small company in Tremont for a time. Ultimately, I just kept coming back to Cleveland Public Theater, coming back and undertaking different projects. I have the honor to have started our teen program, the Student Theater Enrichment Program, which is now about 30 years old, I think. We're coming up close to that, maybe 20 something. And so just being able to do projects like that and initiate these programs has been so wonderful. And then about 15 years ago, James had left the organization. The organization was in some financial trouble, and also maybe in a time of questioning, what are we doing here? How do we fit in our community? What is the best model for Cleveland Public Theater? And at that time I was on staff as the associate artistic director, and the artistic director and I spoke, and he said, I think you should apply for my job. And the board asked me, but then it was very funny because the board president said, are you interested? I said, yes. And then I went through like this incredibly rigorous process. I was interviewed 5 times by the board. So,
wow.
But eventually, I guess they finally agreed. So
awesome. We're going to take a break right here, and we're going to come back on the meet you right on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk Back.
Situation can be difficult under any circumstances, and it is not always clear how best to respond when you see the warning signs of abuse.
Yes.
Yep.
Your instinct may be to save them from the relationship, but abuse is never that simple. There are many ways that abuse appears, and there are many reasons why people stay in abusive situation. Understanding how power and control operates in the content of abuse and how to shift the power back to those affected by domestic violence is some of the most important ways to support survivors in your life. Hi, I'm Renee Lynn Gonzalez, and those are the words from the National Domestic Violence Hotline website. And as a way to support others, I am a survivor. And a part of that is from the support of others I received. And if you know someone who is in need of help, support them by following those words. And start by giving them this info, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-779-SAFE. That's 1-800-779-SAFE. Or you can visit the website and chat with a live advocate at www.thehotline.org. Thank you and God bless.
Live? I hope you're enjoying this show so far as much as I am. I've got a special guest. I've got Raymond Bobkin on the show. He's the artistic executive director right here in the city of Cleveland at the Cleveland Public Theater. And actually, Raymond, I wanted to kind of go into this direction. I also see that you're part of the Cuyahoga Arts Culture Foundation. Is that correct?
We receive funding from Cuyahoga Arts and Culture, which is an amazing organization. It's a governmental body, and it's such an important. When I started here in Cleveland, when I came here, we were one of the lowest public funded regions in the country. We had no support from our city or county. And through the will of the voters, the will and the desire of the voters of Cuyahoga County overwhelmingly have elected to be taxed to support the arts. And it's so important to what we do. So thank you. And thank you to all the listeners that are in Cuyahoga County.
Exactly. We have quite a few in Cuyahoga County, as well as all over the country, actually. So that brings me to this question. With now that we're in post-COVID, right?
Yeah.
Is the support coming back? Or has it ever left dramatically like a lot of the other institutions, or has it come back?
Well, first of all, I might disagree with the governor about a lot of things, but our governor showed a lot of courage and a lot of foresight by directing CARES Act funding specifically to the arts. And it was really adventurous. And I'm just so grateful to the governor, to the members of our state house, the House and the Senate, for all of their support for the arts, and recently approving a budget, I believe, that's going to see a big jump to the Ohio Arts Council. So just, props to them. I do serve on the board of the Ohio Citizens for the Arts, which is such an important organization to advocate for arts funding. We're super grateful. So because of that, and because of the 3P loan that many people applied for, and because our county executive, Armin Budish, also directed CARES Act funding to the arts, because of all these things, CPT is going to end this year basically a balanced year. And we're so grateful for that, because we just couldn't have made it otherwise. When the pandemic hit and we shut down, the one thing we knew was that our purpose is to bring arts to the people. Our purpose, and that is, in my mind, an essential business. So we didn't know how we were gonna do it. We didn't have any funding to do it exactly. We had funds from many foundations, from individuals, and organizations like Cleveland Foundation and Gunn Foundation, who also released restrictions on a lot of grants, which was super helpful. So we just had a lot of support around us, but we were taking huge risks. We were buying computers, buying cameras. We had no idea how we were going to pay for this. So I'm so grateful that there were these super smart people who were running foundations in government who said art is essential. So, yes. So we're going to get through this year, with a balanced year. Next year, it's going to be rough. We also reduced our expenses to do that. So we went from maybe a $2.5 million organization to about a 1.8. So that's a big cut. And so we're looking to come back full steam. We are going to be opening our season this coming, not this weekend, but this coming weekend. We're just so thrilled about opening our outdoor stage with a workshop production of Panther Women, An Army for the Liberation by India Nicole Burton. And we're so thrilled about this, but we are worried. Going back from a $1.8 million organization back to 2.5 is going to be a real challenge. Luckily, I have an awesome team. Luckily, I didn't have to lay off any of our ongoing full-time staff, and they have remained with us and they've just rocked it out. So I have a great team. I think we're coming back. I think the support's going to be there. And it's also been really fun to just hear people talking about how much they've missed being here. And so hopefully next weekend, it will be a great celebration of live arts.
Where do you feel it the most when you have to make a dramatic, such a drastic cut like that? Where is it felt the most?
Yeah, I think that the hardest thing was having to shut down our education programs. We have over 20-year history of working with Cuyahoga Metropolitan Housing Authority. We have programs that are in residence year-round and in the summertime with 4 different estates. And so when those estates shut down their community centers, we had to shut down our education programs. We did a really, you know, we were able to extend out to appreciate the work that those people were doing who were part-time employees. We did have to lay them off. I mean, luckily we were able to give them, you know, a nice few weeks of pay. And then we completed all of our contracts to independent artists, even if they didn't do that work. But you know, that's where the big cuts are. You know, we didn't have a technical team. You know, we didn't have production staff like we normally do, and we weren't paying, you know, we weren't doing huge productions. So we were able to reduce those expenses. I'm coming back now and I still don't have a tech director. We're hiring. I still don't have a tech director. So, you know, these are the moments in which everyone on staff has to kind of step up, take on different roles. It's a little bit old school CPT. I might be up on a ladder this afternoon.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Wear all the hats that you have to. That brings me to some more exciting news. Broadway is coming back in September of this year, as you well know. So that's exciting. And by the way, for our viewers out there, we have a chat line that's open for you. If you have questions for Raymond, the artistic director of the Cleveland Public Theater here in Cleveland, go on, write in your chat, text in your chat there, and we'll be sure to get that question over to him and allow him a moment or two to answer. But yeah, Broadway's coming back. That's terribly exciting. That must also help local theaters kind of just re-enter the mainstreams a bit. No? Correct?
Yeah, I think it's going to give some confidence to people to come back to indoor theater when they see Broadway happening. I mean, but you know, when I think about like what's inspiring me and what's inspiring the artists and the staff of CPT, we're not looking to Broadway. We're looking to other arts organizations. 12 Lit, for example, Daniel Gray Kantar, what a great leader. And to see how he has navigated and that organization has worked together and the way he shares leadership and shares decision-making and the way they have navigated this time, huge inspiration. I can't hardly wait till he and his company are on our stage again doing spoken word performance. I'm so inspired by the work of Julia de Burgos Cultural Center. They have just found ways to serve the community, connect to the community in this time. And also Karamu. I mean, the work that Karamu has done during the pandemic has been monumental, has had national significance. And I think it's really placed them back where they should be as one of the most important theaters of color in the nation.
I totally agree. I was going to ask you, so how does Cleveland compare as to other cities when it comes to the theater? I mean, with Karamu, probably one of the oldest theater, African-American theaters in the country. And certainly Cleveland Public Theater and others have made their niche right here in the city. But how does, in your opinion, Cleveland compare to the other major metropolitan cities when it comes to local theater?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can, because the markets are so big in somewhere like Chicago or New York or San Francisco, it's hard to really understand how to compare those things. But when we look to somewhere like Atlanta or we look to Detroit, I think we can see some amazing things that are happening across our country. We are very lucky or maybe it's partly luck and partly the will of the people here that we have the Cuyahoga Arts and Culture. We're lucky that we have Cleveland and Gunn Foundations. And that has allowed our community to have arts organizations that can thrive in a very different way. At Cleveland Public Theater, we don't rely on subscribers. And in fact, box office makes up a very small part of our income stream because we keep our ticket prices so low because it's more about access. And that can happen because of the foundations. You don't see things like that in a lot of other cities, maybe Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, they have Radical Hospitality and a few other theaters that have that kind of funding basis. But I also feel bad. I mean, you look to cities like Detroit and New Orleans, really funding deserts, places where it's hard for theaters to really make it. And I know amazing artists in both those cities who work so hard. I think the great thing about Cleveland right now is that there is some leadership happening throughout the country. I'm honored to serve on the board of Theater Communications Group and also the National New Play Network. I just stepped off that board, but was able to serve that organization for a long time. And I think Cleveland is really moving into a leadership place to say, this is how the arts can be both national and local.
Awesome. Well, certainly that, I mean, it's been great listening to you. I'm a lover of the theater, always have been. Before we close out totally, share out there with the viewers and the listening audience, if they're local and they actually have maybe even written a play or they like to get their work in front of an audience, what should they do? Who should they talk with there? And how much of a process is that?
Yeah, so we do have every year we have an open time where we receive ideas and proposals from anyone in the local community. If you don't live here, we have a different process. There's a few more hurdles to jump over. But if you live here every year, we have a period of open where you can just propose, make okay. proposals. And also though, we have something called the Dark Room. The Dark Room meets on one Tuesday every month and people just come, they bring scripts, and the leader of the dark room is like, you read, and they just get up there. It's like open mic, but for playwrights, that's a great way to get involved. Most years, although not this year, we have something called Entry Point, where we have lots of little play, little sections of plays. And we also have something called Test Flight, which is a workshop setting. So we really wanna be supporting playwrights from that point of inception all the way up to the production. There's lots of ways to get involved. Many people, although we're a professional theater, many people also have their first professional experience here at Cleveland Public Theater. So we do open auditions. You can go to our website and get on our mailing list and you'll learn about all that stuff. I also just want to share that, you know, we've been talking a lot about the beautiful work of these great Black playwrights, but we also are the home of Teatro Público de Cleveland, which is Cleveland's longest running Latinx theater company. And we are the home of Masra Cleveland Al Arabi, a theater company dedicated to communities that where Arabic language is a core part of that community. And so we're thrilled to be able to host these two companies, and both of them will also be creating works this summer in July.
Well, that's awesome. Raymond, I have enjoyed having you on today on Talk Back. Please, you have an open invitation to come back and visit with us anytime. I want to thank our viewers out there and our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Back Live. I certainly hope you enjoyed this show today as much as I did doing the show. And tune in. We're going to be coming live out to you every other Saturday. We will be sure and give you a heads up and let you know where we're next. We're here to bring live, exciting guests locally and across the country. So stay with us, stick with us. Be sure and go to our Talkbook page, Talk Back, a thought-provoking talk format. Like our page, leave us a review, tell us what you think of Talk Back. It only makes us better. Thank you for listening. Until next time, America. That's a wrap. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Be sure and go to our Facebook page, Talk Back, a thought-provoking talk format. That's Talk Back, a thought-provoking talk format. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of Talk Back. It can only make us better. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, also Twitter, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. Again, thank you for listening. Until next time, America.
You have been listening to Talk Back with my grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye. You have been listening to Talk Back with my grandma on Spotify. Be sure and catch her every weekend. Oh, and by the way, my name is Kari. Bye.